Welcome to another episode. I am Michael Petro, and on the show this week, you've got myself, Mark Cowell, and guest, good friend, all-around great guy, normal guest, as Doug would say. You'll find out shortly. Doug Darling is on the show for you, ladies and gentlemen. And last weekend was Comic-Con, and I thought, no, it's been too long. It's been 3 years since we've had a true fucking con with just nerd splooge everywhere for us to encapsulate for an entire week. So I thought we're going to do a reaction episode, and we kept it easy. We just did the Marvel panel for you, so we are theorizing, reacting, pontificating, if you will, what's going to happen with the Marvel, the end of the Phase 4 into Phase 5 and starting of Phase 6. That is what we covered for you on the show this week, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm not going to take up a minute of your time any longer. That's it. That's what the show is about. It's bonus. I'll shut the fuck up. I'll cue the reel. You enjoy the gift that Daddy Feige has given us and enjoy the show.
Let's tidy up this tangle of film by putting it on a reel. Here is a motion picture film, 1,000 feet, 16,000 separate photographs.
Welcome, everybody, to the official space section of the charter.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Sir, you're out of order.
Out of order? I show you out of order!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode. Welcome back to the Real Debaters podcast. Are we recording? Yeah, we're recording. Welcome back to the show. I am Michael Petro, and I have brought to you today...
me! Hi, Doug Darling right here.
We got a special guest.
Special guest Doug Darling in the studio. Whoa. I'm Mark Cowell, also here.
I'd like to point out that you're using special guest in about the loosest of terms. I'm just the dude who loves to nerd out just like you guys, but I'm happy to be here.
Fair enough. So just normal guest Doug Darling is
yeah,
here.
Thank you.
And we've got a reactionary episode for you. Our first one, I think, actually. We usually let the ship pass by because we all have lives and stuff.
Yeah. Mm.
And then we theorize together, but I was like, no, let's put these minds in the same room and see.
I think our entertainment is so tied together now, and especially with comics and pop culture cons, that everything is interlaced, so you can't really ignore Comic-Con because it really is the future of big screen entertainment.
Yeah, a huge part of the blockbuster cinematic universe is these two huge powers along with a few others that are just, they're taking up so much real estate and surprisingly are not going away anytime soon.
Exactly.
Even though with, you know, the Scorsese's,
yeah,
and,
no,
and the like, giving this genre stuff shit. You're totally right. Like they just keep coming back, and they buy more real estate the following year.
I mean, unfortunately, it does take up a lot of air for other filmmakers, and I mean, you can sit there and bemoan it, and you know, maybe it'll have finally become too big for itself and collapse within itself. But for now, whee!
Yeah. And I mean, the sad state is that. I'm one of those people that when it's a really intense drama or something like that, I actually prefer watching it at home in quiet and get to take it in without anybody disturbing me. And we've been able to do that with all the streaming services and then save the big screen experience for, you know, big sound, big action. I don't know that I would go to big screen theaters to see a lot of the smaller acted things where it's more what am I looking for?
Intimate.
More delicate, more intimate, yes.
Where emotions come into play instead of just your giant comic book hero boner coming into play.
Yes.
So with that said, ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna start with the big reveals, the ones that we like, and we're gonna work our way kind of around this list. Specifically, we're going to start with Marvel, I think. I think that's the home of all of our brains today.
Yeah.
So let's go in order of the lovely Polygon link that I got. Thanks, Polygon, because you guys made this really easy to do no fucking homework this week. First up on the Phase 5 slate. Well, actually, the closeout of Phase 5 is She-Hulk, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Or Phase 4, sorry. She-Hulk and then Wakanda Forever. Wakanda Forever. Maybe let's start there. I think Wakanda Forever is a little bit more befitting than getting into the Phase 5 stuff. We all see the trailer.
Yeah.
Oh yes.
Mark, first reaction.
You know what? I was pretty close to getting a little choked up in a couple parts.
Right.
I watched it with headphones on, and I was like really zoned in. And
was it delicate?
We talked about it. The score, the way it's scored with "No Woman Will Cry" moving into Kendrick Lamar's "All Right," and then the timing of everything. The big speech from, and I'm gonna forget her name.
Angela Bassett.
Yes, Angela Bassett's. Yep. You know, I've lost my whole family. It fucking hit me. It really did.
Ryan Coogler's on a mission with this movie. And it's like a twofer, right? Like, it's how are we going to see Goodbye to Chadwick?
Yeah.
And a movie at the same time that is clearly going to be one of the big powerhouses at the end of the year.
Well, and I think anytime you're dealing with an actual death and that gets kind of put into the storyline, you have to kind of do it justice without sitting on it for too long either to make the movie completely about it. But
yeah,
it's hard not to get emotional even in a trailer about it, because you know that there's actually a real life story that is going to be tied to this, and it's hard to ignore that.
And I don't think anybody knew that they were going to address it the way that they addressed it that we saw in the trailer, with the whole funeral procession,
the big banner and everything.
Yeah. Well, I think that's been probably one of the bigger curiosities, is how do you handle this? How do you carry forward with a storyline with such, you know, a huge need of connecting to other movies, with all that is canon in the comics and stuff like that, to remove one of the most exciting characters and then to move past that in a creative way that's engaging, where it just, you know, it does, you know, feel this huge gap. Like, you actually have to make, you know, there's always the pressure to make the next movie more exciting or more original, more creative. And it's like, okay, let's just rip out the main character of this franchise and see how we, what are we going to put in its stead?
Like, they brought in George R.R. Martin to write.
Yeah.
Who let this man kill another character? Yeah. Get him off the fucking
lot. Ned Starked him.
Ned Stark.
Yeah, exactly.
The story's going to be really interesting. Some big character reveals. No big character reveal for who Black Panther is, but Namor is in it.
Yeah.
Which I, the other day, was like, where's Aquaman then at work? And was like, fuck, why did I say that? But I don't know that much about Namor. With you two guys being such comic book nerds, like, I hear he's the first X-Men, maybe the first mutants.
Yeah, I mean, so Submariner has been around for a very long time, and I've never been a huge Namor fan, but I mean, he's just been part of, you know, the comic universe for you know, getting close
39.
To
39. I read it.
Yeah, like,
I want to say he was one of the first four or five.
Yeah, they, it goes back.
He's on a splash with
Captain America. And Human Torch, the android version of
it.
And so, you know, it's just been a matter of time of how they're going to introduce this character. I don't know its history with Wakanda, which there is quite a big story plot there that they'll be pulling a lot from.
100%, yeah.
It sounds, from what I understood from our god, Eric Voss, that
our god, is that what you're making it official?
We pray at the Temple of Voss. Yes. And
did you watch the Eric Voss reaction
To
the trailer?
Yes.
No,
he almost made me cry.
Yeah.
Yeah. I watched how he his essay on it, where he pulls out all the thoughts, but not the actual reaction.
Oh, his reaction video is crazy.
He's got such a good heart, that guy.
Yeah,
Vibranium is at the core of the fight. And it seems that there was something about the technology, and I believe Namor wants to keep Atlantis and Wakanda hidden, and T'Challa was so about bringing Wakanda to the world and trying to save the world that is an old rift between Atlantis and Wakanda.
That's what you think? That's your speculation?
No, that's what Eric said.
Well, and then I think that's reinforced with the scene where there's the divers going down, and it looks like maybe, you know, the outside world is now fucking with the ocean.
Yep.
And Namor don't like it.
Get and your pop cans out of my fucking
backyard.
Maybe
blames that on Wakanda.
Okay, yeah.
You
that's
know?
That. I didn't know the reason, but that makes perfect
and
sense.
And then there's this theory that it might actually bring back Killmonger. Being that you see the golden Black Panther suit.
Yes.
And there's some good theorizing behind, you know, why they would be going to the sea to fight, and that what looks like they're almost on an arc. And then they, you know, Killmonger got buried in the sea. So
exactly,
they might actually
right?
be trying to go exhume his body, because you need the body to
transcend
to bring someone back to life.
Because he's on the ancestral plane.
That's
right.
Sorry, that's what I was talking
which
about.
Which is their sort of version of Valhalla.
Yes.
Yep.
Which right? in the breakdown, there was a lot of comparisons to the ancestral plane being another part of a multiverse.
And that's been a steady theme that we've got from like an Egyptian point of view in
yes,
Moon Knight,
yes,
that we got yeah. in like the Roman Norse from Thor: Love and Thunder,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So we're just it's the gods.
Well, and they, you know, you got to keep finding new lands and new. So, you know, after kind of Endgame, well, let's introduce the multiverse a little more, and then it's going to be now actually like, you know, Afterlife. It's like the next kind of after they just squeeze every little drop of life out of the multiverse.
And I guess so they've dubbed this officially the multiverse saga.
Yeah. Oh, which, we call it a saga?
Or a saga.
Sega.
I'm glad it was called something. But at this point, like, two movies left in the phase, and we're finally going
to
call it something.
Yeah, trying to make some sense to it.
We didn't know it was the multiverse phase until this weekend, Kevin Feige. Like, you.
So sorry, is it phase four? I thought the next phase is the multiverse saga.
Yes. Oh, sorry, I'm a
saga. Now I'm screwing up.
It's okay.
Yes, that's going forward is the multiverse saga.
Okay, then what was this?
Phase four. Phase four, picking up the pieces during the pandemic.
It
content.
Doesn't get a catchy title.
Content for you until
but
we
no,
figure out
technically,
what we're doing.
Technically, phase four is beginning it because we had the Multiverse of Madness already. We've had
That's
Loki,
true.
Which introduces the Kang, which is instrumental in this whole thing.
I guess my hand was just held for so long.
And No Way Home.
And all these things were laid out so nicely that as soon as it got a little jumbled, I guess I was quick to judge. And as much as it's great, you have a great point, Doug, like content. They didn't stop the machine during the pandemic.
You know what someone posted? It's saying after Endgame, it feels kind of the same way like when you beat a video game and then you just play it for all the extra missions. That's what phase four kind of feels like.
Like I'm getting a secret
just like
key
bonus
somewhere.
Material. But like the main massive story arc of the first 21 movies is just like, that's what you were here for. So they definitely have some challenges in the sense of like, they are getting close to kind of just crapping out content where nothing's been bad, but like at the same time, like they're, you know, stretching their CG abilities where She-Hulk early came out with bad rendering. You know, things like, you know, they're just kind of going almost like feels like sometimes they're just throwing a dart on a big, you
that's
know,
70 million
style
do.
Like and go like, I don't know, let's do a legal drama. And that's She-Hulk's going to be with Daredevil.
So before we move away from Wakanda Forever,
yeah, sorry.
Do you, Doug, have like a theory? You're thinking Killmonger is going to come back as?
That was a theory that I heard.
Okay. What's your personal theory?
I honestly don't know too much about the storylines in there. I do like the idea of, you know, how do you make more Black Panthers? If the flower is no longer around,
mm-hmm.
So then do you have to do something
transcendental?
That's it.
Okay, anyone got a dictionary? and you know, almost kind of bring back the ability. So there's, you know, maybe they can synthesize it. What Shuri's going to play a big part in it, and then they're setting up Ironheart as well.
She can't be two characters, right?
No, but Shuri, it's not. It's a different character. That's, is it Eerie?
Riri Williams.
Riri, sorry.
It's who she kind of gives, like, the whole, like...
when they shake hands?
Yeah, the Predator.
That's Riri Williams.
That's Riri, okay.
Yeah, that's, and Shuri. Yeah, and so, okay. I mean, her character is a big MIT genius, and maybe being set up, and this is actually somewhere else, that these younger characters are setting up the Young Avengers and probably would be, and I'm getting ahead of myself, would probably be one of the unnamed titles that's in for phase six.
Yeah, we're going to the Young Avengers for sure because they've already been introducing them.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I've heard that it's kind of specced out through every property too, like even in
it
the
is.
Series and stuff.
Scarlet
like
Witch. Yeah. Like
you know, with the two young kids. Yeah,
two kids.
Yes,
Hawkeye.
Kids.
Yeah, Speed and Wiccan.
Yeah, right? Miss Marvel. Or sorry.
And then the new Hawkeye. We got the White Widow, new Black Widow.
Yeah.
Oh, Florence Pugh's character. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's her name?
Oh, well, she might be a Thunderbolt.
Yes.
You think?
Well, you know, this might be what Julia Louis-Dreyfus has been leading up to.
With U.S. Marshall, with Wyatt Russell's
U.S. Marshall.
Character. Fuck, I hated him. Oh, my God.
That's another thing. We can speculate on who the Thunderbolts, because the Thunderbolts have had like 12 iterations in the comics,
right.
And everybody's been a Thunderbolt at one time or another.
They think, you know, that could involve Tim Roth with Abomination.
Abomination, yeah.
And I'm not even, you know, sure how the, you know, a movie dedicated to them as, you know, some sort of anti-hero group that, you know, there's obviously needs to be some sort of lovable structure to them that redeems them in some way. It's not just a bunch of assholes.
Oh, yeah, bad guys are always on the redemption train now.
Yeah.
It is the Disney way.
And we have to get there. And my understanding is the actual from the comics, because I don't know the Thunderbolts really.
It's Marvel Suicide Squad.
Exactly.
Yeah,
right?
It's all the bad guys.
And their original base is actually the jail that Deadpool gets taken to. When he meets Juggernaut, they actually repurpose that as their base.
Oh, that would be fun. That would be a really out of
and Juggernaut at one time has been a member of the Thunderbolts too.
Right. Yeah,
me being a huge Juggernaut fan, I'm pulling for Juggy to come back in a big way.
I was actually pulling out my old cards. I just pulled out I got the full set of my Marvel cards from like number series 2 from the 90s and. It's pretty funny, actually, both with some of the bad guy groups that are still pretty close. And then actually all the cosmic beings that I never really – I was a big Silver Surfer fan, but it was hard to keep up with those kind of Jack Kirby-style characters, like a lot of them that actually just got introduced in Love and Thunder. But, it you know, these guys have been around for a while.
Who do you think's in the suit? My thought, as much as – like, Killmonger is the big what the fuck if you put him in the suit. Shiri in the suit makes the most sense, but who's Lupita Nyong'o's character?
Yeah, and that's
Nakia.
Yeah. Nakia?
And that is also a thought as well.
That's where my money is, actually, because
T'Challa's she's already like an assassin.
Yes.
So she fights.
Yeah. I think that
Shiri needs to be
she needs to stay as the scientist.
The girl behind the girl behind the girl, right? Like she's so good in that role and is not
the Q.
Exactly, Q branch. Whereas Nwango's character, I'm like, she's got hell to pay.
Well, and that is there's some probably good credence to that in the sense that it starts with her and you don't really see her. Like it's almost kind of like it bookends with.
Yeah.
I like that better too. It's a real female led cast too, which is great. I think to just bring back Killmonger. And even within What If, he's not redeeming any, you know, like he, so I think that tough to justify that, but I think probably one of those three. You do see, like, and of course I think it's going to be there's a as they do their trailers well, they're hopefully showing a lot of the first act, maybe second act.
Yeah,
if it looks like a Marvel trailer and smells like a Marvel
exactly
trailer.
And there is usually an unknown enemy. We know that it's probably not just going to be Atlantis versus Wakanda all the way through, so there's probably someone behind. It could be from, you know, there is an army side to this, right? There's you know, whatever organization is infiltrating, so there's probably a bigger enemy as well.
I feel like they're establishing the DODC.
Yes.
Right, yeah, like from Ms. Marvel.
For a listener, what's the DODC?
Department of Damage Control.
Okay.
As a non-real life entity that they can play with so that they're not stepping on any toes with like CIA.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like the new SHIELD and the new
It's basically who's going to be chasing all the mutants and powered people.
And what's the one that deals with outside of
Sword?
Earth?
Yeah, Sword. Sword was Earth and SHIELD was Sword was space, SHIELD was Earth.
I never put the two together.
Yeah, Sword and SHIELD. Are we excited for She-Hulk? Or are we good with Wakanda? Can we move on?
Sure.
Yeah, I think that's just about everything.
Yeah.
Atlantis.
Yeah.
Obviously, we see Wakanda get flooded.
Yeah,
which is pretty crazy.
Which is where the Ark thing comes into play. Back to Doug's point with that Ark and the whale underwater.
That looks like there's going to be some crazy like cinematography.
It looks beautiful. CGI, it really looks
well. In Wakandan technology, they can make themselves a scuba suit in a minute. So like, there's nothing wrong with them jumping into the water and having a stupid, crazy under the water battle with Namor.
Well, I'll say it right now. That one shot of them riding on the whale impressed me more than like all the underwater stuff in Aquaman.
That was an underwater fight on cocaine. That was insane. Like I was just like impressive, but what the? Oh my god!
I couldn't catch anything. Like the only great was the big splash where he comes up with all the animals. Like that was the only time I was like shark, fish, octopus. Everything else was too fast. Are we excited for She-Hulk?
I think it's great. I think they're treating it like it's a half hour. Comedy, legal comedy.
Ally McBeal, motherfucker.
It is. We're gonna get a lot of. It's gonna be an opportunity to establish some characters.
Like who? Who
are you thinking? Well, clearly Abomination is in the trailers,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? And it sounds as though it's gonna be like introducing several different cases of powered people that she's defending, are superhuman or whatever they're going to call it, mutants. So I think that's an opportunity to maybe introduce some smaller characters just for fun.
For sure.
And then tie some things up with that. Like Banner's going to be in it quite a bit.
Yep. Did you see in the trailer where he like they have the thunderclap?
Oh, yeah.
And then he tried to do the punch, like the arena punch, and she just kind of like falls off the cliff.
Flips into like the bird.
I love that they break the fourth wall.
Yeah, that, right? That was one of the things that excited me the most because...
that's Deadpool, baby.
That's some Deadpool kind of style, and I always find that's a lot of fun if you do it well. And then, yeah, I mean, and Daredevil definitely playing a part. I believe Kingpin is in it. So he didn't die, apparently.
No, he didn't.
And which is good. I think he's Vincent D'Onofrio is such a great.
We're talking the death in Hawkeye, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I thought he was done. I was like, oh, he's out. But and
he's just one tough motherfucker.
Yeah.
Like he's made of brass and steel and gold and all of the things that don't melt.
Yeah, and I kind of like that world. I was a big fan of Daredevil. And Punisher, what they did with that.
I was when I was a kid. Not so much now. I didn't get into the... I've seen...
I really liked the series. I thought they were great.
I saw the first season.
I liked
the
grittier, like, in the city in New York, Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah.
You know, like, small-time bad guys. It doesn't always have to be a world-shattering event.
He doesn't need a secret lair every fucking time.
I really loved... Charlie Cox is great.
But to put it in the world of the MCU, I think is interesting. I'm curious if they are going to change him at all in the sense of... Obviously... like he's going to have any different superpowers probably, but...
What they're doing with him is the Born Again series, which is Frank Miller.
Yes.
So right off the hop, if we've seen anything that Frank Miller wrote and was put on the screen, i.e. Batman, we know it's dark.
Dark and gritty.
And 18 episodes.
I know,
16,
right?
Isn't it?
18.
18? That's a lot of... That's the most was by a long shot. Well,
that's like an NBC show.
Yeah.
That's what our Lord and Savior said.
Okay.
He's like, what is this, a CBS show?
My grandma used to watch.
This is Dallas. But back to She-Hulk. Is the room, are we, who cares about the rest of the world, but are we over the CGI fiasco that you mentioned?
Yeah, I mean, it's in this, you know, I'm glad they fixed it. Surprised it came out, you know, they know what we know. In fact, they have far better eyes than we do, and we saw this kind of like goofy, unfinished first trailer. I don't know if this almost feels like it's an intention, like kind of like that new Coke strategy, which is like make it bad so people go like, wow, like Sonic the Hedgehog,
right?
Let's give him like creepy human teeth,
go down here, and then it only takes this much money
and make
here.
It seem so much better when you fix it. I think that in general the kind of like the anthropomorphic versions of any
you nailed that word. I'm so fucking impressed. Sorry, I had to say something.
I did lip exercises before. I know. Sorry, I told
Rubber
you
baggy buggy bumpers.
It was really creepy for you guys to watch me do that, but it was worth it.
I thought we were prepping for something else. Honestly.
Yeah, no. Hey.
I brought
well, show's not over.
That's how special this guest is.
Yeah, very.
Go on.
Secret set of skills. I mean, like. You know, I think that even sometimes the Hulk looks a little too rubbery, but like, you know, at the same time, I don't know what you would do more aside from just make them look kind of grittier or give them more, even more texture than then that might make them look less friendly.
I don't think you need to humanize everything.
Nah.
It's a fake world.
I don't believe that's a real Hulk.
Like take Juggernaut. Juggernaut from the X-Men series compared to Juggernaut in Deadpool too.
Yeah.
Like I want Deadpool 2 Juggernaut.
Yeah, yeah, with the big, huge hat.
Exactly.
Right?
You don't want the retired soccer player playing Juggernaut?
No. They don't need to make everything, you know,
I did like,
real-ish.
It was nice to see Vinnie Jones you know, getting some work.
Yeah. But... he just wasn't believable. The Juggernaut's a force.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just a beast.
When the guy who played Juggernaut in Deadpool 2 runs through a wall, you feel it. When Jones ran through a wall, it was just like a... drunk retired
soccer
player.
It was
a dude running through a wall.
I still love actually he's supposed to be Professor X's brother somehow. That just felt like a loose, like, I don't know, let's make them brothers in the 60s.
So the story is that the Juggernaut's father and Professor Xavier's father work together at a lab. Professor Xavier dies, and he's the rich one. He passes away. I can't remember how he dies. Maybe in a lab accident that could have something to do with Juggernaut's father. Juggernaut's father marries Professor Xavier's mom and becomes his stepfather to get access to all of Xavier's dad's wealth and access and everything else. So he's the stepkid that comes home from boarding school as a brat.
Like sends.
This all plays out in X-Men 12 comic.
Look at you.
Yeah. And that, so they're stepbrothers, and that's kind of their history. He is an asshole to them all through school.
Yeah.
But Xavier's good at everything, right? Because he's got his telekinetic powers, so he's smart and athletic, and he's jealous of him. And then they both somehow join the army together, and that's during the war where he comes across the Crimson Gem of Sidorak.
Dang, he's good.
You know, he is good. Wow. I have to change his title to comic book collector.
I just got schooled. Just schooled.
So that's the connection.
Nice. Okay. I won't question anything again.
No, we don't. We don't. Even if he's wrong.
Very impressive.
I before we end on She-Hulk here, I'm looking forward to the scenes where she's out of place but just in place. Like, there's that scene where she carries the dude to bed.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Like, those kinds of things. The humor that they're inserting into it, because it is like Hulk smash, Hulk lawyer, right? Like, all of the Hulk's always clumsy.
Yeah.
So it's a great place for some comedy, right?
I agree.
You know, like Hawkeye was a great place for a family, like a Christmas show, right?
Like, and this one looks like it's comedy, but like adult comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Like some dick and fart jokes.
Yeah. Like, right? she's taking a dude to bed to fuck the shit out of him. Like, it's not like, you know.
I bet you that next scene is him like chugging Gatorade and her just being like, what's your problem? Right? Like,
yeah.
You know, you got a little in over your Hulk, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's another.
I think it's going to be really funny. It's humorous.
And you know what? They're fillers. They do their job. Right? Like WandaVision, immaculate. Loki, so much fun. Captain America, very topical of the time.
Yep.
Right? Talking about race in America and who's allowed to wear the suit and who's not. Like, whoever thought that these shows would, A, connect the movies, right? Because now we're stepping out of movie world that is in a different format. It's chunk, and let's admit, they are movies that are edited for 8 hours.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and but they're done properly, so they're fun. But at the end of the day, yeah, like these shows are—they're great for time filling because you got 6 months in between.
It's smart. It's definitely smart the way they went about this, and so far it's been, you know, doing very well for them.
Can you bring up the timeline, Mike?
Yeah.
So we can kind of address it in order here what they've been announcing.
You do your thing.
Sorry, go ahead, Doug.
No. I think that it's good they continuously try to change the genre up. I wonder if they're going to run out of them, but it seems to be working for them. But, you know, kind of like an adult legal comedy. I think it'd be a lot of fun. I'm happy to see something with Hulk back in as well, to see Ruffalo.
Yeah.
What is the story? Do you know the story behind why they can't do a Hulk movie or a Hulk series? Like, who owns the rights? Or
no.
Is it one of those things?
I don't think it's any of that. I mean, my guess is there's not much of an appetite for a full Hulk series. After they've already done three movies, you know, we kind of forget about, well, obviously the Ang Lee one, but then, I mean, that first one with Ed Norton is still actually supposed to be in canon with the rest.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. There's just it was creative differences that didn't keep Norton on, and they switched out to Ruffalo, Ruffalo. But as far as I know, I don't think there's anything keeping them from making one.
I've heard there's something to do with licensing or something, but
I thought they couldn't own the rights to.
Yeah, I thought so too, but I don't know whether something's tied up with in some other.
Yeah, it could be
for a solo project.
It could be obviously the same way that, you know, with Spider-Man and with X-Men, and those properties got sold at a very low time in Marvel's life, and they've, you know, continuously tried to get them back. They now do own X-Men. They do own Fantastic Four with the Empire now owning Fox.
They own the word mutant?
They own the word mutant. Is that so?
That was a big one. Really? They didn't own the word mutant, so they couldn't use it. So they used, superhuman or
enhanced.
Enhanced or, yeah.
Inhuman?
There is Inhumans. Those are different, sort of.
Yeah.
Black Bolt, who we saw in Multiverse of Madness, is the leader of the Inhumans.
That's right. Too bad he has no mouth.
Oh, that was something else. So yeah, I think they're setting us up here for all different kinds of a neat progression. And then I think as they move into the fifth stage, we start seeing like Secret Invasion.
Yep.
Is one of the first ones.
Yeah. So here, well, I've got the timeline while he dumb fingers his way through his computer. Quantumania is the first one to kick off phase five in February 7th of 2023. That's exciting because, you know, honestly, the second Ant-Man was fine, but it was just kind of like almost like a bit of a placeholder, even though it did actually at the end set up, you know, the start of coming back from Infinity War, Endgame.
Yeah.
But it involves Kang.
Yes.
Kang the Conqueror.
I love Jonathan Majors.
Oh my God. I did not know much about him until I saw that performance, and he became basically one of my favorite actors just based on that in Loki.
There we go. Time's up, gentlemen. There's our whole entire. So February 17th, 2023, to be exact, for Quantumania. Did you see?
I totally just said the date, but, you know, whatever.
Sorry,
it's more authoritative.
Get there faster, Mike. Get there faster.
Hey, you want me to do production and be a fucking talent at the same
PA.
Time?
We do need a PA. We need a producer.
Do you know anybody that's young and, you know, will work for free?
No.
Okay. Never mind.
Internship?
Maybe my daughter. She's going to turn 8 in a few months. So she gets her.
So Quantumania gives us lots of time in the quantum realm. We're going to get introduced to his daughter, mm-hmm. Who's going to be a young Avenger, right?
What's her character name again?
Stature.
Okay.
Is a young Avenger character. She also goes by, I think, Stinger at one time. But
yeah. What's her... Like, does she come out of the quantum realm with the power?
Same thing,
like,
Pym particle suit. Right. Takes over the reins, I guess.
Yeah. The Bill Murray connection in this.
Apparently. And they haven't said really who, but MODOK is also going to be a part of this.
Yeah, yes. It's the dude who ran AIM before, Corey Stahl or whatever his name was. The bald guy who made the Wasp suit.
Right.
That's what they're theorizing.
And then, obviously not using Patton Oswalt because he's actually another character. He was introduced very last minute with Harry Styles in the end of Eternals.
That's right. He came running out his hang around or his.
I can't remember his name, but I was always curious about that because there is an animated series MODOK that obviously isn't canon with Patton Oswalt's voice as well.
And. Patton Oswalt was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, yeah?
The show. He was sort of a... It was his likeness that they replicated, and he, like, looked after old S.H.I.E.L.D. bases, so every time they went to this, like, decommissioned S.H.I.E.L.D. base, it was always a Patton Oswalt, like, one of the brothers that are all... that were taking care of it. So he's, like, in... scattered throughout the whole canon.
Yeah.
The Hope Van Dyne... Bill Murray connection is the one I was referring to, where he meets Hope in the quantum realm somehow. He's not a bad guy, but they just I think he's going to be an old love, like an old flame.
Interesting.
I think that's the connection there. But the Kang stuff, like it's interesting that when you look at the timeline, like the Quantumania setup, and then the start is Avengers Kang. What is it?
Kang Dynasty
and Avengers Secret Wars. I think. All of the stuff that's going to end up in Secret Wars is going to start in the end credit trailer for Quantumania.
Yeah, I think they'll be building up a lot of it, but I think one theory is that it's just going to be Kang the Conqueror as one of the Kangs.
one of the many Kangs.
In Loki, he really set up how many different Kangs there are, and I think that's where the difference will be, being that you introduce Kang and then go through a series of both movies and shows before you really even hit that story arc. So it will be interesting to see.
We're going to get Kangs in Quantumania for sure. Then we're going to get Kangs back in Loki.
Yep. Yeah. Maybe Secret Invasion, which also then is, again, Secret Invasion is something that is a reoccurring.
I don't know much about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's been done twice, and I don't know so much about the 2015 version before it was more of a thing with the Skrulls.
Okay.
They're basically, they're going to fuck with you, and they're going to say that a bunch of the people that we've already seen in this universe are potentially Skrulls.
Yeah.
Oh, are they going to do a Martian Manhunter DC
thing? That are messing with, yeah. So we don't know who's a Skrull and who's not and who's been on Earth.
Is there any theory out there of who really,
like, well, potentially somebody who's died could have been a fucking Skrull looking like that person. Like, it could have been a Skrull Black Widow, and Black Widow's not dead, or, like, who the fuck knows?
And they've been setting that up since throwing Samuel L. Jackson on a spaceship.
Yeah, for vacation.
Yeah. And having that also,
yeah, I remember that
the Skrulls at the end of
Captain Marvel.
And Spider-Man yeah. Far From Home.
Far From Home.
Oh, that's right.
Turned out, Samuel L. Jackson and Colby Smulders in that were Skrulls.
We're Skrulls.
I don't like this. This is so fucking Westworld. Like who's a host and who's not?
You mean everyone's a robot?
God damn it.
So that's going to be the whole fucked up. And they've already said they're going to keep you guessing the entire series.
Yeah.
Who the fuck's a Skrull and who's not.
And Secret Invasion is a series?
It's well, yes. So I think it's gonna
are
like
we talking the comic series versus the movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, but Secret Invasion, the one for spring 23, is going to be a Disney Plus series, correct?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's a great way to suss that out for people like me who didn't grow up with the comic. I love it.
And I think it's gonna be maybe like a bit more of a micro show where they're gonna focus in on a few different characters and storylines, and then mix in the who really was a Skrull and who isn't. They might actually go a little bit back into the past. And kind of like retcon Skrulls back into stuff.
We'll see. Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. Oh, is there Marvels in between there? Or do we have? Oh, Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy is next up on the roster. They showed the trailer at Comic-Con, but they didn't. It's not online yet. It's just the really shitty. I got the phone in my pocket, and I don't want security to kick me out of Hall H kind of thing.
Yeah.
We get Adam Warlock for sure.
We do get Adam Warlock. We find out there's some Gamora.
Yep.
That comes full circle as well too. The big one is Rocket's
origin story.
Yep. He's not a rat, he's not a trash panda, he's neither. And there's a shot in the trailer where you get to see him in a cage. He's a little Rocket.
Seems as though he was treated very poorly.
He was, but by who? Right? And is that character going to be somebody
high evolutionary?
Oh, yeah. Oh, really?
Yes.
Who was the CIA contact and Peacemaker? Same guy.
Yes.
Oh, who's playing it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I
couldn't do his name justice, and actually my eyes are starting to go. But Chukwudi Awuji.
Yes.
Probably just butchered that, so I do apologize. But yeah, he is slated to be, and so that starts to tie in. You'll know better than this because I was just trying to catch up on it, Mark. But it does tie in some other animals that he's known for, and even again kind of hints at mutants a little bit.
I think High Evolutionary had like a base fortress castle on that same mountain that we saw in Multiverse of Madness. That was that like magical fucking crazy thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know too much either, but I think he experimented on like human animal hybrids and all crazy shit. So
what happens when I take a dog and a donkey and a human?
So, yeah, I think he's going to play a big part in a lot of that shit.
They had him in his costume, full makeup. He came out, was in character, was talking about how he can't wait to meet all of you and play with you and like, do weird. Now it makes all sense that you're talking about weird scientific experiments. Yeah. He was making comments to, like, getting inside brains of people and whatnot.
Yes.
We'll also see, it looks like, Sylvester Stallone will be back as Stakar. And maybe we'll get a little more screen time. It's been kind of odd as he's just been this, like, just kind of
two-line homie.
Yeah. Like, you know, still one of the biggest actors of the world.
All right, I'm done.
Playing this little bit part. So you feel like they're just kind of, he's biding his time for a larger role. Chris Hemsworth being back in it as well. Maybe making.
I hope he's in it for as long as the Guardians.
That was a surprise. Hey,
holy
shit! Okay, and so we're gonna go now, and you're like, wait, what? What happened?
Off on your quest to find yourself, Thor.
I love when they do.
Oh,
like take a huge person and we see them for so little time. I think it's great.
Yeah, it's like killing off Ben Affleck and. What was that movie? Smoking Aces.
Oh yeah.
And
you're just eating lead on the side of the
highway. Sorry, spoiler alert, but I mean the I remember the commercials for it being very Ben Affleck heavy. Arguably maybe the biggest person in there.
Ben Affleck, Jeremy
Piven.
He's
done in the first act, and I loved that.
How about Brad Pitt's cameo in Deadpool 2?
Yeah, but they weren't selling the fact that Brad Pitt was in it.
It was quite shocking.
He apparently did it. I just had read this that he would do it. It took about half an hour, but he had to have a coffee delivered personally by
Ryan Reynolds and a specific coffee, making kind of this funny little like task of him to do something to star and to star to be in that movie.
That's funny.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I think it's gonna Guardians is gonna there's gonna be a bunch of shit. Cosmo the Space Dog.
Cosmo the Space Dog is what's her face from the Borat sequel?
Maria Bakalova.
Maria Bakalova. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's gonna blow up, I think, because of this. Like what she did in Borat was brilliant, but. Who is Cosmo the Space Dog? I hear it goes all the way back to the first one. I don't remember a space dog in the first film.
I don't know much about this one.
In the first
Guardians.
I believe he's with the Collector.
Yeah, he's in the Collector's.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, so check. Just a brief appearance because the dog is in a spacesuit, right?
Yeah.
So
well, it's just based on the Russian space dog kind of
like,
thing.
Yeah, the cosmonaut dog. You know, and Howard the Duck, and like the whole
that side of Marvel that nobody wants to talk about.
Just
anymore.
Planted a bunch of things in there that they could fuck with people later on.
Yeah,
I agree that after what James Gunn has done, give James Gunn everything,
and they're gonna close. Like James Gunn was saying, I saw an interview with him that this is like he can tie it up with a nice bow and the whole Guardians story arc and just be done with it.
So it makes you feel as probably funny and silly a movie this might be, there might be some kill offs.
Yeah.
People's contracts might be done.
What do we do now? Well, we don't have a contract. Got to kill him on screen.
Batista might have to go back to wrestling.
I think he has a somewhat savable career with.
All right.
That Las Vegas zombie movie that
we're all entitled to our opinions.
What? Like, I feel. Well, hang on here. I feel that Drax will be the most missed out of all of the Guardians.
Oh,
that's
sure.
Just me.
That doesn't mean that these characters won't surface in other places.
That's true.
But
with everything that Kang can be a part of, and how Kang is the through line on a lot of things.
But Chris Pratt's done how many now movies?
Oh,
like
God,
he's
tons.
Done about six.
Yeah.
Like I think Hemsworth is now at the top of how many. Movies he's committed to or done.
I feel like we've had enough Star-Lord. He just needs him and Gamora need to, you know, reunite and be in love and then go off into the galaxy together.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. Echo. Echo came from Hawkeye, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This one I know very little about as a character. Mark, I don't know. I mean, it's really exciting for, you know, having a deaf main protagonist. But I don't know much about what will happen with that.
I don't know either. I know very little about her. We saw her in Hawkeye, obviously. She's tied in with Kingpin.
Yep.
So we're going to get some Wilson Fisk, Vincent D'Onofrio, Kingpin goodness
you
in
might
Echo
see
2.
Some Hawkeye come back maybe because wasn't she angry at Hawkeye?
Well, yeah, we
killed...
might get a little bit of crossover there with the new Hawkeye.
The new Hawkeye. What's her name? Haley Steinfeld, yeah.
And then, yeah, we're going to get some of those characters. We're going to get some Daredevil in there. We could get some Punisher, maybe, somewhere.
Some Joel Barenthal, maybe. That would be a great release for him to be committed. Oh, my fuck.
Like, they could tease it somewhere, like, at the end of that one, because Punisher's in that same little part of New York, right?
Do you know what? Just the first four alone, which, ladies and gentlemen, at this point, I will say, we're only going to cover Marvel today. just the first four alone. All have the possibility to dash in some really cool things. Like these are the times where like you want us to throw in some oddball characters. I think they're capable of doing that.
And then maybe they don't know where they're going in the future, but at least they've introduced somebody and then they have that at their disposal.
Marvel 838 or 616. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
And then they do have Charlie Cox as well confirmed for that. So Daredevil will probably be starting to set up.
In Echo?
Yes.
In Echo, even more. Going from She-Hulk to Echo to... when is his movie?
And who knows what we could get at...
Spring 24.
Right? Like, at that time, we can have... like, that's the same world that Jessica Jones was in.
Yeah.
That, like, Iron Fist was in. That Cage was in.
Oh, you're talking about the Netflix jump?
Right? Defenders.
The Defenders.
So who knows what they might all put in that world, right?
Yeah, I wonder if they'll bring any of those other characters back. I think people just really wanted Daredevil, and that's why they kind of all of a sudden made it happen.
Out of the three, and I only saw the Punisher series. I didn't see Jessica Jones, but just the word on the street, Daredevil was the one that had to stick.
I think it's just such an important character.
And botched over the years. With the Ben Affleck portrayal and Jennifer Garner with the Elektra thing. Like it,
he has a really good story arc in the Daredevil series. I found
my very first comic was Daredevil 244, where he fought Wolverine.
Oh,
and it was a real like battle on whether they kill this, you know, this criminal or not, and they fought over. And that was, yeah, I remember, I still have that somewhere. It's not in great condition, but that was my
intro.
You want
to get that fucker graded?
My intro to...
So what are we on to? Yeah. We're on to Loki?
We're on to Loki season two.
Which we're going to get a lot of the tying together of this...
The time variance.
Timeline shit.
Yeah. Miss Minutes, will she be back? Oh, Kang.
For sure.
And this is where the details start to get fewer and fewer in terms of... You know, who's in it, what the storylines will
Loki be. Too, moving on. That's pretty much what they took.
This is where they could talk, like, the Council of Kangs could be introduced in it.
Well, yeah. I saw in a video that Mobius, the name of...
What's Wilson's character.
Owen Wilson's character. Mobius is the same shape that Tony used to figure out the time heist. And there might be
like a Mobius strip.
There might be some tie-in that Mobius, the character, is part of an anchor, one of Kang's many anchors in the timeline. That once disrupted, that was how they were able to weasel their way through time, because that was the one area in the timeline that they broke and Kang didn't fuck with. But that's just a thing.
That's interesting, yeah. Because I mean, for your audience, that the reason he was able to do the time heist. Was he put the numbers into a Mobius strip.
Yeah.
And that's what created time travel. And, you know, that's why I actually really do love
Better
watching.
Minds found that out. I'm not claiming
most of the things I'm talking about, I'm just stealing from other people. It is pretty interesting, though. What I really like about is, you know, and maybe this is why I'm such a fan of the MCU, is that there is a lot of thought put into these and pulled from storylines and, you know, true care, and you know, whether it's Easter eggs and all this kind of stuff that just other movies don't have the ability to do, and I think they just do. You know, when you just watch it on the surface, and you're like, "Well, it's a fine movie," and then you go into a breakdown, and you're like, "Oh, wow! Like they really, you know, they're not joking around. They're not taking these storylines, these characters, these things lightly." And because they also know that, you know, there's just this culture now of people just. Totally relishing when it has all this fan service.
And the set decoration, like something that's innocuous in the background could be an Easter egg that leads to something else.
Moon Knight, specifically the second last episode with all the little figurines in the in the therapist's
100%.
Office, right? Like all of a sudden this Easter egg basket's dumped. It's like a comic splash, right?
I think Loki will complete Loki's character arc. You know, his love interest and go from there.
His love with himself?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, he's fluid, which is great that they confirmed that finally.
Oh, yeah.
They were teetering on the fence on that a bit. But, like, where, like, there's so much room. Like, Kang was killed in the end of that? Like, that Kang was killed, right? Am I wrong?
Yes, one Kang was killed. Yeah. And then we got introduced to a second Kang.
Yeah, and that was the one with the big folded arms and
the statue
version of Kang. Some people know me as Killer, Murderer.
Well, that we saw it in the Ant-Man Quantumania trailer. It said, "Oh, you're an Avenger. Have I killed you before?"
Yeah,
you know,
that's well. And he's the oldest, right? If you want to go in age, like he transcends back to like Egyptian time, I believe.
Yeah, I gotta go back.
His prime, like prime Kang, original Kang, I think is Egyptian.
So it's like Amon Tut or something is one of the Kangs. In the storyline, who's Egyptian background, but Prime Kang is actually, and we're going to get to it later on, Reed Richards' father, Nathaniel Richards, from the year like 3048 or something, discovers how to travel back in time and messes with the time thing and then goes back and then he creates the whole. So he's actually
responsible.
He's the Prime Kang, is actually Reed Richards' father, Nathaniel Richards, from the future.
Holy shit.
There you go.
We need cue cards and a map to figure this stuff out.
I'm going to start looking like Charlie Day. Just putting stuff on the wall, smoking cigarettes.
The Marvels. Mark, you watch Ms. Marvel. Doug, did you watch Ms. Marvel?
I'm halfway done, and of course I'm doing my research on this, and of course then all the little things get blown for me, and I'm like, that's what I get for not following along. I don't know why. I've been in this real state of like not watching a lot of new stuff lately, and I just kind of got into this.
I think the pandemic still
has a part of it in me where I just need, after a long day, and it's, you know, with work, not to not to open up too much to you guys, but I need dumb stuff.
Spill it.
And
spill
like
it.
nothing that I need to remember or think about. And
I 100%. I haven't watched the Batman yet.
Oh my god!
Because yeah. I have it there, sitting, waiting to watch. But I'm like, I'm just not there. I'm not in the right mindset.
I haven't watched The Matrix yet, and I was. It's such a huge fan, and I'm just like, it's 9 o'clock. I'm having a few drinks. I'm like, I
no.
I'm gonna watch Superstore again.
Yeah, because yeah, I know myself. I'm like, I don't have the attention span to watch this right now.
I want
to
give it my full focus. Exactly. So, anyways, Ms. Marvel, I do really much like it. I love the art. It's reminiscent of
Scott Pilgrim.
A Scott Pilgrim and Mitchell versus the Machines, and this mixed media. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
Approach I think is incredibly creative. It's really beautiful and it's fresh, and I love. I'm sorry, I forget the actress's name, but she is so
joyful.
She's really adorable, and I don't mean that in a condescending way. She just is. She's a fabulous actress. And,
she
pulls the part really well.
Kamala Khan. Am I right on that? Or is
that's
that the
her
one?
Character.
That's
her
name. Yeah. Okay. I've only seen two episodes. So
it's she does a fantastic job.
Yeah.
I think she just.
She can be very serious and dramatic, and then she has this really great comedic timing.
And the way that they had her powers kind of come and they manifest is kind of interesting, different than I think the comics. The way that, like, when she reaches out her hand where she saves the girl at the Avengers Con, it's very, like, reminiscent of, like, a Green Lantern type of thing.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
Interesting. So it's Monica Rambeau, Kamala
Carol
Khan,
Danvers.
And Carol Danvers as the Marvels, right?
Yeah. And I don't know if there's more. And I don't even know how Monica Rambeau is involved because... I'm thinking of her mom. So yes, Monica Rambeau from
WandaVision.
Photon.
Yes.
Which her like when she walked through the wall, they did mention the science behind it that it like reorganizes your particles. I think that was part of. So she's got the ability to.
It was the walking through Wanda Maximoff's wall that basically reorganized her and created her powers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, she may have been a mutant, but they probably couldn't have used the word.
Right.
Need another one.
It mutated the genes.
Bring me the Sithoris.
The Sithoris? That is good.
I wasn't a giant Captain Marvel fan. I didn't like the Brie Larson casting, to be perfectly honest. Mm. I just felt that she couldn't be bothered. Where everyone else, like, really bit into their character, I didn't believe her as Captain Marvel.
Well, I think one of the challenges with Captain Marvel is she's so powerful that there's no kind of...
the arrogance of the character.
Well, no, it's just like you kind of go like... I mean, even just how she saved the day in Endgame, you know, which was amazing because you almost forgot like as just kind of latecomer, but she just destroys everything and then, you know, barely or almost gets Thanos, but... she's just such a cosmic character. Where's that weakness and what's her conflict?
Yeah,
gonna be, right?
Yeah. I think maybe that's why the whole movie just
there's
didn't
not a
really...
big enough bad for to I, really give her a challenge. Yeah.
I did like Captain Marvel in the storyline or even the message to come from it, which is you know just a woman who's been told the thing she can't do all her life and then becomes the most you know strongest woman around.
Marvel's
so person.
They're so good at that where it's not cheesy and after school. Like even in Ms. Marvel, the stuff that Mark was telling me about and the stuff that you're talking about, it's an adult version of a topic. It's not a kiddie version of a topic.
Well, you know what I also really liked, and I know we're supposed to be more talking about this.
No.
Is it a movie or is it a series? It's also a series?
I don't know about that.
Anyways. What I like about it too, and this is something I noticed, is that in the same way that actually Schitt's Creek had very intentionally they addressed homosexuality in a way to not make it something that was controversial. So it was just something that was normal. So they very much on purpose didn't have really anything about hate. Like they're trying to, you know, make it like that even in a small city, people are cool with it because you kind of need to set that tone. Rather than creating these kind of almost tropey situations.
Coming from the dark side of it.
And with a Islamic character, so far that I've seen, is they just very much show the culture and as a normal part of its integration into American society. And again, don't really create any of these, again, kind of trope-like. And there is a need for the conversation. There's a need for content about that. But there also is a need to, if we can't you know, if we always make it seem like it's not part of the overall culture, then it's always going to feel us versus them.
Yeah.
So I really liked how they just celebrate the culture, especially with, like, you know, teenagers who are kind of a mix between, you know, the quote-unquote Americanized kind of melting pot and still staying true to their religion, and making them really 3D, you know, characters that are not
when
the
they're in the mosque and they're like on Instagram or whatever, right? Like
exactly.
it makes them like, oh, they're just like us.
I think
you
it's
know,
really well
the
handled.
Juxtaposition of your culture and your technology.
And that's because I think they're using the right people at the helm. They're usually using, obviously, modern people who come from those cultures rather than whitewashing it and, you know, that kind of stuff. So anyways, with the Marvels, I really have no idea what to expect.
I think we're not going to know what that's going to be until we see some of the things leading up to it.
Yeah.
Because Carol Danvers and Miss Marvel was connected to Secret Invasion, right? Like, she's a big part of the Skrulls. So I think we're going to probably, something that comes out of Secret Invasion is probably going to be what that movie centers around.
That's a good call.
Blade, November 3rd, 2023.
Oh, Blade.
I'm surprised it was that far, because they've been talking about this for a while.
Well, they teased it in Eternals. Marshala Ali speaks at the end to Percival.
Did we lose? Oh, no.
No, we're good. We're good.
By the way, that was such a weird deep cut, in the sense that you don't even see him, that you have to recognize his voice.
That
was ballsy. I was like, who is that? I had to go look online. I'm like, oh, okay. How would most people, like, should you have shown him?
just a shape or a leather jacket
I
don't know, a guy with like the silhouette of the hair. Like, give him something that we know from the original character, but the voice alone, unless you're a big fan of Marshall Ali, like, you don't know. And that's a very, that goes back to House of Cards for me, right? Like,
but so there'll be a connection to the Eternals in this. You don't really see the Eternals anywhere else.
The Dark Knight.
Yeah, the Dark Knight with
the Black Knight? Sorry, Kit Harington's character.
Talk about no on-screen time. He's the boyfriend in the first sequence, and then he doesn't show up until he finds the sword.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, by the way, I'm also like a powerful guy too. And
so you got the
big family history. How convenient.
You got Blade coming in. You got the Black Knight. This is going to be the supernatural.
Yeah. The dark side of
finger
Marvel.
Of Marvel, right?
With Monster Marvel.
Exactly, which I think we might see Moon Knight come back in, right? Werewolf by Night.
Have you guys heard any speculation on Ghost Rider? I feel like that's kind of come back.
That's
Ryan Gosling was teased.
Ghost Rider's in that
Gosling
realm.
Yeah.
The Midnight Suns is like a comic that had Ghost Rider and Werewolf by Night and Blade as a team.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's 2027 at least.
Yes.
But yeah, no, they briefly teased Ryan Gosling as.
Yeah. Because that might be a place for, you know, a lot of these series obviously then introduce a new character, even if it's for a short time, to then bring them into their own series or their own movie.
Yeah, and we could get Dracula.
Do we think Blade's going to be an incredibly hard reboot of the character, or do we think Blade's going to tie? Like, do we think Blade's going to get dropped, say, in Echo or Guardians? Like, I mean, these are just—I'm just throwing darts here. But like, do you think he's going to get a little bit more before the movie comes, or is he just going to have a standalone and we'll get introduced?
Aside from maybe another post-credit scene, although that'd be kind of weird to put him again in another post-credit scene.
Where
so who knows?
He just talks. He doesn't see his face again. It's
maybe
the running
show theory. Up in Echo, though. Yeah, you're right. That could be...
Echo would be the only one that I could see him fitting into.
Yeah.
Because it's sort of the more, like you said, the microcosm of the city, which would fit with Blade.
Yeah, and you know what? All of a sudden, like, if you put a vampire in Echo... Then you know in the next, like, if somebody mentions vampire in any of these things,
you're like, oh, here we go.
Here's the anchor.
Well, there's a lot of talk.
Countdown.
There's a lot of talk of the established with the Eternals and with Moon Knight of a lot of this stuff taking place in Europe. So they're not going to be coming back to the U.S. All of that, the sort of supernatural side of it is what I've read, at least, is that they're going to be sort of European based on a lot of that stuff. So we might say Blade show up as, you know, in Europe somewhere instead. Take place in London or who knows, right?
I want the same story with a different end game. I want to have, who did Chris Christopherson play? His handler, his guy who made him. He kept him in line, didn't let him, you know, bleed out, so to speak. I want that story again. I just, now I want it involved in this universe. Because Blade is that opening sequence with the blood shower and Darude or whoever was fucking playing that track at that time. Like, that's so synonymous with early Marvel.
They owe a lot to the character, actually, because, as you guys probably know, it was really the first successful Marvel movie the first successful comic movie for Marvel as a company that actually floated them through bankruptcy. So if they hadn't done that movie, there might be none of this.
Well, that's cool.
At least not in this way, not owned by Marvel.
Well, and Feige was around it. He was a junior at the time, I imagine, but he's credited on that production.
Is he?
He's credited on X-Men too. Like, he goes all the way back.
Yeah.
But
when they'd already sold so many of the other properties as a desperate move, like Fantastic Four and X-Men and Spider-Man, Blade was a bit of a shot in the dark, kind of like Iron Man, and it made money. It did very well. They made three of them. And again, apparently very, very integral to financially supporting that company in a very tough time in the 90s.
So that means that they better give Wesley Snipes a cameo.
Yeah,
I
just hope they don't do it in like where they play a different character that, you know, I don't know, like, you know, it's like the all female Ghostbusters and they put in Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray and like kind of these connected characters, and it just feels cheesy or campy, but you never know.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. That's going to tie in definitely to that. You can see they kind of have like three different like worlds almost tying in here, where you sort of see like the small scales like city stuff, and then there's like the big world outer space event,
cosmic,
and then we go back to the supernatural, and you can see the little pieces peppered in,
which is leading to Secret Wars, which we're on our way to.
We're getting to Secret Wars.
We're almost done the third column here, ladies and gentlemen.
I think some of these are going to be filler. Ironheart's going to be continuation of Wakanda Forever,
right?
That's Shuri's character. No,
Riri Williams.
It's also going to bring back most likely the world of Iron Man.
Yes,
being that. Riri is an MIT grad. The idea is that maybe through the funding that Tony Stark did at MIT, that maybe these were one of the projects. So, I mean, she is actually like more of a pickup from Iron Man, like a follow-up to that. So,
I think she's going to basically the female Iron Man.
Yeah.
I couldn't get a dragon out of my mind when I was like the verbiage.
I think
because
you're thinking of, well, there was a movie like.
I'm thinking of the dragon
Ironheart. Sean Connery.
Yes, like Sean Connery. That's exactly what I'm thinking of. So I'm like, I can't get over that fucking shit to enjoy whatever.
It's called Dragonheart.
This is Iron Man.
There it is. Thank you. This is I'm Tony Stark.
So that's that'll be back to the Iron Man stuff. That's going to tie us back into maybe she's going to be like running Stark Industries, or she's going to be an intern,
maybe,
and she's
some Spider-Man,
the best, the brightest.
Then, right, with the MIT connection? No.
I don't know. You never know.
Yeah.
Recruiting the best and brightest?
Agatha. Coven of Chaos.
So they changed the title.
Yeah, which leads you to think that Coven is a group of witches. I know that from American Horror Story. So 1653 is the date that the Darkhold was placed into her hands. That being said, I want it, like, you're talking about supernatural.
Yeah,
witches and vampires.
Exactly.
That might be a spot for Blade to show his face too again after the film comes out.
Yeah, and so the Chaos is obviously hinting at Chaos magic, which is what the Scarlet Witch uses. So there are some hopes that Elizabeth Olsen comes back.
I want her own. I want a standalone for her.
I think she should still have one. She has to now kind of redeem after what was a little bit of an odd arc. And I was reminded, someone complained. It's like, oh, okay, this one-sided woman who just gets really upset about kids. it makes her seem like some crazy shrew or something. It's like, no, but it also, the Darkhold was kind of the excuse to that, right? It poisons your mind and makes you do crazy things. So can she redeem herself? You know, of course, you didn't see her actually die.
She crumbled.
Yeah, which is kind of funny. She's like, well, I have to destroy this. And I'm like, did you have to destroy it with you in there? Okay, all right, whatever.
Maybe we see Mephisto come around then?
Don't start this conversation again. Like, did you think Mephisto was coming in WandaVision, Doug?
Only through the theories, but yes. I really hoped it wasn't, because I wasn't sure why we wanted to see the devil, the comic book version of the devil in there.
Then they threw it into Loki as well, too, where, like, there was a stained glass window with...
Because they're fucking with us.
Well, I know they're fucking with us, but, like...
But, you know, with if there was anywhere for Mephisto to come back or to make an appearance, I think Covenant of Chaos is probably
with the Darkhold, with something, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
What do we got after that?
After that is Daredevil. I think somebody's mic is rubbing up against something. Yeah, pull that back.
I ain't touching anything.
There we go. Yeah, it was just the cable was reverberating and causing noise.
Oh, sorry.
All good. Don't worry about it. Listener forgives you, because I do. Daredevil, Born Again.
Who the fuck knows?
So I don't know this storyline. Do you know the Frank Miller storyline?
I don't know the Born Again storyline.
I got to look this up, because it sounds really interesting. Again, 18, I mean, that's almost, that's more than double any other series so far, right?
That's two seasons.
But they're going to do it all in one fell swoop?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, what, I know, yeah, what we're used to is
we're used
seasons.
To 6 to 8, right?
Yeah, and then, like, 13 minutes of credits at the end that could be used better, right? Like, the end of every Marvel and Star Wars show is, like, the biggest credit roll ever. And I get it. Pay respects. But at the same time...
You gotta... Like, I actually... That's why I love post-credit scenes in... theaters, because you actually have to watch the credits.
You
and
do.
Like, look how many people, look how many VFX artists are rotoscopers. It's insane.
There's thousands.
So many people that work
A
on
unit,
these things.
B unit, C unit.
So when you go like, I didn't really like that movie that much, it's like, yeah, well, what have you done?
Where does, okay, all right. So because I haven't seen all of Daredevil, yeah, I know, you get me in the comments, but like, where does Daredevil end that this could pick up?
So I don't know, you know, if the whole Defenders thing is going to be a part of it, or they're really kind of just resetting them by using Charlie Cox.
Yeah.
I think you're going to learn a lot in She-Hulk.
Where he is and exactly what his purpose is. Okay. All right.
I think that for the most part, I mean, he's a lawyer in Hell's Kitchen who fights the good fight and has a really strong moral code. And so I think it's going to be something like that. I don't know. You know, I think you can only use Wilson Fisk so many times as the enemy.
All the D'Onofrio, all the time.
Yeah.
But you're going to get maybe some Bullseye. We could
Bullseye.
Could Bullseye
be,
reinvented.
Yeah. Maybe Wolverine. Maybe there's, I mean.
Keeping in mind there's things missing still that could be threaded in here, right? There's big gaps.
Valleys. Did they close Daredevil the series well? Like, does it need to be continued at all? I heard
it
was one of the most bloodiest season finales. Like, the fight scene in the end is just
He's fighting against the whole what are they, the Foot Clan or the,
right? Whatever. Oh yes, that's right.
The Foot
the
Clan.
Oh, the Hand.
Those are Shredder?
The Hand.
The Hand. Sorry.
The Hand. Okay.
The equivalent of the
equivalent of the Foot.
Yeah.
The Hand. So that was a big bloody. Yeah, it was good. It was a really good series. I don't know if it's going to continue. I think it's going to be more of a pseudo reboot.
And because they're throwing the comic title in it, it makes you go, that's pretty dead on that this will be that story, instead of alluding to, maybe like with WandaVision, maybe we'll take a little bit of House of M. Maybe we'll take a little bit of this and then sprinkle it in.
But so they didn't call it House of M, right?
Exactly.
In this case, they're actually like, they'll probably take some they'll take some creative liberties, but you know, this might actually be pulled very much from that storyline. So I'm definitely going to look that up. Probably should have looked it up before to figure out who the main players are in that. But
I didn't find much over the course of the last 3
days.
Like it's
nobody's
just,
really talking about that one yet.
Like we're so deep. Like when you look at Feige's, he's like Avengers, Kang Dynasty, and Avenger. Like it's the same shot. They don't actually end the shot and start a new one.
Yes.
So it was very loosely. It was just announced, but speculation's part of the fun. Captain America, May 3rd, 2024, New World Order. Very conspiracy.
Yes.
Very.
I think they're gonna keep it political. Hey.
Yeah. No shit. And like, are they gonna stay so on point like they did in the first season?
Like, well, what? It's a movie too, right?
So it is.
Yeah, that means like it can't be kind of like one of these ongoing kind of TV
dramas. You
got
to get to the fucking point.
It's got to be a big ball buster of a movie. So, you know, understanding that Anthony Mackie doesn't have the superpowers that Captain America does, but they seem to already have been able to kind of like, you know, forego that with his suit and with his wings and all that kind of stuff. But I'm interested to see who the main players will be in this one too.
Keeping in mind, it's still part of the multiverse saga.
Yeah.
So could we get a live action Captain Carter?
Right.
From another universe, another timeline.
Ooh.
Could come in and join the crew.
Maybe the New World Order is different Captain America's.
Yeah.
From
Is there a pig version of Captain America like Spider-Ham?
Yes, exactly.
Is there an alligator version like Loki?
Yeah.
Is Bucky in it? Is the Bucky?
Oh, I'm sure he'll be in it.
The lethal weapon budding romance between dudes that they did
absolutely,
the show.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right, like that was what was so enjoyable about the show was two guys who were like, we don't have paychecks and we've got a lot of shit we got to deal with. Right, like we're too old for this. Riggs and Murtaugh, kind of funny dynamic. I can't wait to see more Bucky apologizing and then trying to, like, that was so heartbreaking.
Yeah.
When he, like, the reason why he's hanging out with that old Asian
guy. Oh, God,
was because he killed his son, right? You're just like, oh, Bucky, the things you didn't know you did.
Yeah, by the time we get there, we're going to be introduced to a whole bunch of new people. This could be.
Yeah, fuck Bucky, I don't care.
The New World Order could be the introduction of the new Avengers, the young Avengers, like some.
Oh, that,
right?
I
the
like
team
that.
Could get assembled.
It could also involve probably the Thunderbolts a little bit.
Yeah.
Now, we're only actually, like 2 months apart from these two movies.
You are.
So you probably aren't going to have it too much as a continuation, which again makes it kind of surprising with the announcement of those Avengers movies, like seem like completely different plot lines being tied together in some way that they'd be willing to. I mean, even with Endgame and Infinity War and Endgame, they were a year apart.
They were
filmed
at the same time though, but yeah,
these are about 6 months apart for the Avengers movies. And Captain America and Thunderbolts, where I think there is a lot of crossover with characters potentially, being that it's kind of, I don't know, Mark, what you're saying, like there's like these different kind of pockets of worlds. There's the cosmic, there's then kind of almost the more traditional, which is like kind of the superhero-esque, like, you know,
your friendly
Captain
neighborhood
America, Spider-Man's and all that stuff. But yeah, so it kind of feels like Thunderbolts and Captain America are in the same world a little bit.
Yeah.
And Thunderbolts, again, just to recycle before we move into the three big phase six moments. Thunderbolts is like the Suicide Squad, you said, of Marvel.
Of Marvel,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Villains, anti-heroes that are pseudo-reformed to do sort of good.
Yeah.
But are they really doing good?
Well, and like
And over the year, like the people that have been part of it, just to tell you, have been... Like, we've had Doc Ock, we've had Bullseye, we've had Juggernaut, we've had...
like the Sinister Six, kind of.
Yeah, basically the Sinister Six. We've had American Agent.
They're always hiring.
I'd put money on U.S. Agent being...
U.S. Agent, yeah.
I saw a short list, and he was on it.
Okay.
We've had... Hawkeye's been part of it at one time. Like, it's been so many weird iterations of the Thunderbolts that we don't know... We might not have even met. Abomination was part of it. Like, we don't even know.
Wasn't that fun to see Tim Roth's character come back? And
well, I'm just such a huge Tim Roth fan, and I really felt sad that he only had one kind of kick at the can, and it was mostly CGI.
Right.
Ever since Reservoir Dogs, I've just been such a huge fan of that guy.
And William Hurt's dead, so yes. Thunderbolt Ross. Are we going to play the Red Hulk? Is something going to come of that?
Yeah.
Oh, and there's Grey Hulk too, right?
Red Hulk's in Thunderbolts. I don't know much about Grey Hulk, but maybe you might see Red Hulk in She-Hulk, or maybe Abomination is.
Yeah.
You don't need two Hulks.
So I think Thunder.
Yes,
I was going to say Thundercats. Thunderbolts is going to be.
It looks like Thundercats.
Sort of a continuation off
the Ironheart
New World Order.
Yeah.
Now, I just got. While we're talking about this, I kind of got a theory. We see those two Avengers titles together.
Yep.
And. If people are sort of thinking like a continuation of, which it might be, like a two-parter.
You think it's an Endgame and Infinity Stones again?
That's what I'm suggesting, because how else could it be when it's only 6 months apart?
Or are we looking at, because we're fucking with multiverses and timelines, do we actually branch off somewhere in there and two separate stories with the same characters happen?
And merge to one point?
So we actually have two final Avengers stories in this. Of two different storylines.
Yeah.
Holy fuck.
It's
possible. Because Secret Wars is when like every superhero fights against every
Battle
fucking
world,
superhero.
Right? Yeah. And all of the worlds. Well, it's the Kang. It's Kang's plan to line up all of these timelines.
Yeah.
And get everybody from each timeline onto Battle World for Secret Wars, right? Is that kind of.
Yeah. Secret Wars is like X-Men, Avengers, all like everybody against everybody.
You just also have to think of it from a marketability standpoint, like a story standpoint. Like, how far can you push this till you just confuse too many people? Or are we just all so. In it that, like, I know they're already past the point of saying, like, fuck it, we're not explaining everything to you anymore.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're either
in
or you're out. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah. And you also have to remember there are, I think if I've seen this right, at least three unannounced movies happening before then. And these all could be related to things leading up to those two movies.
Yeah, so we have Fall 24, Fall 24, Winter 24, Winter 25.
Before. So we know we're going to get something to do with mutants.
Well, okay, first question, because now we're into the big three with the
Could
Untitled Project.
For sure. Yeah.
Doom is going to be the new Thanos, right? That's for certain. And Thanos was end credited out to us for multiple episodes and films. Where do you think Doom is going to... We need Doom. We need Victor Von Doom somewhere in this.
I mean, there is a theory in Wakanda Forever going all the way back to Phase 4 here that he actually... Because there is a storyline that involves him stealing all the vibranium. And it might be...
Encoding himself in it, so he's indestructible.
Namor and the Atlantis being misled into, you know, fighting with Wakanda, and Dr. Doom might be actually the bad guy in that.
So could that be a post-credit introduction of he's the puppet master?
Who knows?
That's what I think. That's
so
what
there,
I want
to make
think.
It more interesting, well, I don't know how it's going to play in. There was a one-shot comic book that came out 6 months ago called Timeless, around the time that Loki was out, that featured Miss Minutes and some stuff. But it was this alternate universe of Kang touring somebody through these multi-paths of the timeline. And at one of them, they come like face-to-face with a version of Doctor Doom that has the Infinity Stones like embedded as his eyes in his helmet.
I've
like
seen
it's this,
a picture of that.
Yeah,
think,
it's kind of like a totally messed up alternate timeline shit.
Oh, that's
right?
Fun. That's
Infinity
like
Doom.
Infinity Crown.
Yeah. So who knows? By the time they get there to Fantastic Four time, we're going to have mutants because X-Men 97 is not on there. So they're going to introduce it at least into the Disney Plus world.
Well, yeah. And I've heard rumors that X-Men 97 will be canon now.
Maybe.
Oh, really?
Like it's X-Men 97, but it'll wrap somehow. It might trail. Yeah. It might not be right in the timeline.
I think they would have stuck it in here in this announcement if that was the case.
Okay.
Like they're really trying to keep this to a timeline.
Again, yeah, rumor.
Because Disney Plus still has lots of other properties they're putting out in this time.
Do they?
Is this it?
Yeah.
Well, we got Deadpool. We got mutants. We know those are all going to be in there somewhere.
Yeah. So is Fantastic Four, like in my eyes, I think Fantastic Four can't be an origin. Can't be a we need to see these characters in their lives as their characters, because if we get another kick at the can where it's like, here's Thing, here's Human Torch, here's Miss Fantastic, right? Like, it's just going to get to the point.
Where were you guys during the...
Right, where were you during the other
three?
Well,
that's the funny thing is they always have to make things that are in harmony with where were you during Endgame. You know, the Eternals, that they decided not to do anything.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like,
that
they could only watch.
Right?
They could only watch.
That I feel...
Could only do that so many times.
I don't want to be held... I don't want my hand held. I don't need another introduction. Like, there's too much over top of this film for that kind of crap to come back, I think. That's just me.
Well, the idea of throwing out what... You know, are they from 838? Are they from 616? There's like...
I want them from one of the two... coming in and introducing themselves, and it just being, and then they maybe reference Silver Surfer. Maybe they reference Days of Future Past, if I may, right? Like, maybe they go back and have those conversations somehow in it, but they don't start with, they all went to this fucking planet, and this planet gave them all their powers. If I see that one more time.
Yeah. Is it confirmed John Krasinski? Because actually, I know that they did that more as fan service. Although it feels like they're kind of locked into it. Like,
he was 838, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Okay,
but still, like,
Penn Bagley from You is being scouted. That's the most current rumor.
I mean, they have to be. They're only 2 years away from this, so they have to probably be getting into production. They probably have a lot of this figured out.
Well,
there's so much shit going on. I don't know how they're going to tie it together. And I think we should be waiting, like, it's September, we're going to have D23. And my feeling is, at D23, they're going to announce Mutants and Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, where it slots into all
of this
stuff.
Makes sense, because they just put Deadpool and Logan onto Disney Plus together, which is weird, because it wasn't a batch of stuff that went on. It was these two movies.
Yeah.
Deadpool 1 and 2, and Logan finally made it to Disney Plus in America this last week. We've had it since beginning because I think it's through Star or whatever the fuck, because it's their R-rated
show. But they're making it a big deal because it's the first R-rated stuff that is now going on there.
I think that's a smokescreen.
I think, well, no, I think it's very intentionally marketing in some sort of way.
For the Deadpool drop at D23.
Very well, yeah, very well could be.
That's what, that's what I think.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what
no,
I mean?
I think
like,
that's possible, sure.
It's 2 months away. Everybody's starting to watch Deadpool 2, Deadpool 1 again. They're getting excited. Then you launch it. Then you really build it up. I don't know. Did you guys think the same thing as me on the Fantastic Four shit? Like, do you want an origin story or do you want
I don't have a fucking clue.
Okay. Yeah. I think, though, like, it's been done now twice, and I think that they know that to do it. You know, they have done a pretty good job of not rehashing, like, same with Spider-Man with, you know, origin stories that have been approached a few times now within the last 20 years. I have no idea how they're going to just kind of throw them in, though. And maybe this ties into some Kang shit that you're talking
about. Well, keep in
about.
Mind, too, that they kind of used parts of What If as canon in the multiverse.
They did,
They absolutely did.
So we now have a Reed Richards in the Multiverse of Madness. Well, maybe in, like, Earth 616, they're was no Fantastic Four. So Fantastic Four comes from another universe, right?
That's perfect.
Like, because there's a what-if storyline in the comics of what if Fantastic Four never got their powers. So maybe on Earth 616, they didn't get their powers.
You know, I have number one. What if?
I do, too.
What if Spider-Man joined the Fantastic Four? Yeah. But, I mean, they've even made that very obvious. And I know that they were kind of just playing with already used storylines, but they made, you know, with Spider-Man, where there are no Avengers in the other two worlds that they're from, right? And so definitely a multiversal thing can basically have them already established and somehow brought into whatever world we're in.
And what did
point.
They refer to it as when there's the universes rub against each
convergence?
Other?
Convergence?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, when they break off and they form a new
line. Oh,
no.
Is that what we're talking about?
No, the convergence is when the worlds start to explode or implode.
So at the end of Multiverse of Madness, when she appears to Doctor Strange, you said there's been an incursion.
Sorry, yes.
Yes.
What did I say the first time?
Convergence.
No,
so incursion. So that's going to be, it could be from an incursion, and we could get Fantastic Four
from
another
universe.
Well,
you got Charlize Theron in here somewhere, right?
Right.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
And she's
from a different
Dormammu's niece?
She's a Dormammu. No, she's
Sorcerer Supreme in another universe.
She is, and she gets married to Stephen Strange, so that, I mean, it doesn't seem like there's any Doctor Strange coming up anytime soon.
Do you?
Although, then again, there's still 8 unannounced movies for Phase 6.
Do you remember in Loki when he shows him on that computer screen the incursion that happened that caused Loki to be there, right?
Yeah.
And then all of the little ones that branched off of it. I want that moment revisited. I think that that's a perfect moment to go back and, like, here's the other things that happened from that break.
Yeah.
And I think you could fill a lot of those things. Like, you could use that scene as fodder for definitely Fantastic Four and Kang Dynasty, because Kang Dynasty is, like, there is one place where all the Kangs go, right? It's like the Council of Ricks or some shit. Like,
Council
it's
of Kangs.
Council of Kangs, and they all sit around and they plan, and each Kang has left, like, breadcrumbs, essentially, in each timeline so that it works in his advantage, which thus the one timeline it didn't was Time Heist timeline from Endgame Infinity Wars, which is how they got through. But
and that's a sacred timeline, which I don't totally understand either, right?
It's the one that you don't touch.
Yeah, and so why is that? And how does this all play into the larger multiverse? I will say, though, after years of pandemics and move dates and challenges, it is great to see
a schedule,
and anticipate it. And my nerdiness is incredibly excited and intrigued.
And you know there's going to be so much interesting stuff, like, scattered in and amongst this, and so much speculation.
So many end credit trailers. And
who are we going to get bad guys? Are we going to get Doom? Are we going to get Galactus? Are we going to get Mr. Sinister, who is a big X-Men?
Yes.
We've already, like, Essex Corp that's been dropped as a whole bunch of things. Mm-hmm. Nathaniel Essex is Mr. Sinister, who was a big bad in a lot of Marvel stuff. So, I mean, it's kind of exciting to who are they going to introduce to us as these villains?
Yeah, now the thing for me, I don't know about you guys, but I try not to look too much into the predictions beyond kind of what I've even done here, where I want to be surprised still.
Yeah, I'm good.
Because
I'm good. This is the most in-depth I've done on on this topic.
You know, Denise watched new rock stars or a few on the multiverse. Sorry, a Multiverse of Madness, and I'm like, no, I don't want to know all the possibilities, and then just be like, oh yeah, he was right on that one, he was wrong on that one, and I wanted to, you know, it all comes back to the first when Matrix 2 came out, and I watched every possible trailer, and this is 25 years ago that I wasn't surprised by anything by the time I saw it.
What's cool now is that literally anything is possible in this current multiverse saga. They could do any fucking thing they want, and they can explain it now.
Yeah.
They can bring anybody back. They can kill anybody because they can bring it back again.
With great power comes great responsibility, because they also know that they can't just do whatever the hell they want and then have some solid reasoning behind it, because it's almost like there's so much that you can do, but that people are just going to be like, oh, okay, whatever. It's just like you're just making it up as you go. It needs to have structure, and the more chaotic that it gets, the more challenge that they have to kind of keep it all together and keep you interested.
They're one movie away from losing a lot of Wayfair fans, right?
Sure.
Like, you know, the ones who will go and they're like, all right, I'm still in it. But unless they're buried in it like we like to be,
you can
lose those.
But I think they do a good job of having movies play on their own.
Yeah.
Because Chrissy goes to movies and she doesn't care about the way they tie together. There's three acts.
Yeah, they do it in a way that it's a standalone in its way. It doesn't have necessarily the satisfaction that you get from knowing all the other stuff. Yeah. So it's all the stuff that's like candy for you, but it's still they still have to make an enjoyable film that people will see.
Big fight scenes, big splashes, a bad guy, a good guy, a story, man versus whatever, boom, done, next, right? For the general fan.
Yeah, I mean, it reminds me of Harry Potter when, you know, Denise, my wife, was such a fan, and I'm just joining in actually halfway through kind of the whole series, and I'm enjoying these movies, but I don't know a lot of things. And she starts to explain them to me, and then I actually get more excited about it. But, yeah, they have to stand alone. If not, you're right. You're just going to alienate, and these have to make their money.
They can't, I think,
further than we thought that they would ever get. But I've heard also, like, you know, viewership on maybe even some of the Disney Plus ones are not as good as they want them to be. I think Hawkeye was one of the first ones that was like, oh, maybe we can't just do whatever we want.
To the point of how the movie is a standalone and they do a good job of that, the series are not. The series, I think, are where the Wayfair fan goes, oh, I'll come back in when it's back in the theater. I don't want to step into the TV world. Because when they start to suss out 8 episodes of Wanda, unless you really were invested in Wanda, you can come back to Wanda on the screen, because that's where the real big money is, right?
But there was so much context. Like, you really jumped into just, you know, talking about her children. And, I mean, I would say with Multiverse of Madness that if you didn't watch WandaVision, that it was a much less enjoyable film.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, they flash right back to the living room.
Yeah.
Right?
What are these two
kids?
Well,
they have to set up that conflict so quickly. And, you know, I had some friends, again, who didn't watch much. They didn't like the first 2 episodes of WandaVision, so they didn't watch the rest of it.
Who are they? Let's out them on the show.
No. I'll tell you later, but don't worry. They're not listening anyways. But and then they had a real tough time believing the conflict, because it jumps so quickly into, you know, you don't get to see all the challenges she went through the series, and then having to give up her children, fake or not. Or understanding the power of the Darkhold and what that means.
Or just FOMO.
Yeah.
Marvel understands. Kevin Feige knows FOMO. He knows how to make you feel like you're missing so much.
Damn it, I have to go watch this stuff now.
Unless Marvel's a cloud over me until I watch it, because I'm like, I know if I don't have all the fucking pieces.
Yeah.
And to anybody who likes putting a puzzle together, one missing piece, you haven't finished the puzzle, right? And there's too much fucking what if. Here's a real question, though. Like, did we ever think in all of the time that movies were ever made that the secret to making a Marvel movie is as important as the fucking Pepsi formula, right? Like, I know how they're going to make the next Indiana Jones. I know how they're going to make the next Transformers. I know it. I can go online and I can watch it. I don't fucking have a clue what the map is, what the room looks like at a Marvel.
I don't know if they do either. I think that they found early on was taking risks worked. And so that actually trying not to, you know, Zack Snyder everything and make it all kind of one tone.
Film.
And going that people will follow along and change tones. In fact, it ended up being refreshing. But there is actually some argument. There are a lot of formulaic movies in here that follow a very similar structure that sometimes it actually almost makes it tougher with the more adventurous ones. And so someone they argued that Winter Soldier was such a perfect movie, and actually that the Russos made so that honest trailers couldn't criticize it. They actually had said good. That was one of their goals, but then actually kind of weirdly the adverse effect on it was that then that's the formula to making a lot of these movies, and then you started to feel formulaic. So then when you start to do something like a Multiverse of Madness, or you start to do something that's a little even the Eternals and stuff, that people go, well, it's not the same as that. So you've then very much split the audiences, and that's why you're probably getting a lot more split opinions on movies on whether they were good or not. And Eternals and Multiverse of Madness would be good examples of those.
I think there's boom. Different fans.
Drop it.
There's people that are going to like movies 1, 3, and 7. There's people that are going to like
everyone's
all of
got
them.
Their favorites. Yeah. Yeah.
And they're going to give us enough that I think there's going to be something for everybody.
Agreed.
Totally agreed.
And I think that's it too, right? Like it's again, changing. I mean, you're going through all these different genres. I mean, you got to a point of almost horror movies, and now you're going into a legal comedy.
Yeah. And you're not gonna get the comedy that we're gonna get in She-Hulk in New World Order.
No.
Like there's not gonna be any of that.
And the humanity in Loki is definitely not going to be in Ant-Man Quantumania, right?
No.
Like there's some drama in Loki, but Scott, help me here, Scott
Lang.
Thank you,
Scott Lang.
I was hanging on a limb. Is pure comedy gold, right? It's Rudd. It's never aging Rudd. You're not gonna have like even when Scott Lang hugs his daughter in Endgame, I'm just like, man, I'm waiting until Tony's dead to shed some tears.
We also don't even know that we didn't even touch on. We thought these movies are like a chronological.
Oh yeah,
We're gonna be bouncing back and forth like we did with Black Widow. Like, how do we
That's
know?
True.
How many of these take place during the blip? How many happen after? How many are potentially an origin story? Yeah.
Why'd you have to say that?
It's a good point. Now there's a good chance that at least with
brain
the rest
pouring
of,
out the side of my head,
all of Phase 4 so far has been post blip.
Wakanda's also confirmed post blip too.
Yeah, and
but I think it touches partially on blip because there's some talk that maybe Shuri blipped,
yeah,
and now she's back.
Yeah.
So, but when she says my whole family's gone, Angela Bassett's line.
Yes.
Did she say that while? You know,
and that's why
did T'Challa die while Shuri was blipped?
That's why there's a theory that Shuri actually does maybe not necessarily die, but she has to go to
the ancestral plane,
and at that point is where you know where Angela Bassett you know thinks she's not coming back. That's where the idea of bringing back.
Killmonger,
or at least maybe figuring out how to get the flower back so that you can have the power of Black Panther.
That I like more. I like the mission for the flower, like in Dark Knight when he's got to get the flower to the top of the mountain.
But yeah, like, and not to go too tangential here, but like going back to like how
it's not an episode here, dude. If we don't,
yeah, how is it all? How have they done it? And I think there's just I mean, we could argue this for another hour easily, but like, I think throwing Robert Downey Jr. into the first movie to then define that comedy was going to be a part of this. And then being able to kind of swim safely through some origin stories and stuff. I actually think Guardians of the Galaxy might have played one of the biggest roles in then just taking a risk that nobody thought was going to work. And then they just went, oh, okay, we can really blow this thing apart and we could do almost any tone that we want.
Yeah, the soundtrack alone set the tone for Guardians. You're right. And I, you know what, I would love to do another hour, but this is a school night and... when we do this professionally, we can do this all fucking day. We can do this during the day when we do this professionally.
And I'm going to need to get this tickle out of my throat.
Yeah, exactly.
If we do it professionally, you probably have to do it in half the time, actually.
Anyways, there's a reaction episode for you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, normal guest, Doug, for
normal guest.
Yeah, that's your
This
new
is
title.
Fun. I'm definitely going to come back.
We've set in motion.
I've just told you I'm coming back now.
That's fine.
I live here.
Nerd out on some of this stuff as it see if it comes true. We should actually record some of our thoughts on what might happen and see if anybody's
make
right
a
or not.
Time capsule and then pull it out at phase 6.
I'll put predictions. I'll fucking dig up a hole in the backyard. Totally.
That's
do that.
Really funny.
So if this is your first time listening to us, go back a couple episodes. There's a lot of fun stuff there. Don't go back too far because then you'll be like, I don't want to listen to these guys anymore. Our early stuff's good. It's just awkward. Either way, go listen to some other stuff so you get a feel for who we are. If this is your many time, this is your 100th time, whatever, thank you so much. To the new people, there's an end credit at the end that explains like how to join the Debaterverse, as we so affectionately put it. And, you know, stay in touch, subscribe, listen to the show, do all that stuff. Find out more about Doug. Find out what's going on in the world of the rest of the cast on the show. Listen to it so I don't have to tell you about it. And then, you know, be that podcast asshole that pumps you full of promotional lines and all that jazz. We have really cool shirts in our shop, though. I do want to let you know that. Each of us have a signature shirt.
We do.
Mark says Tom Cruise on it. So if you hate Tom Cruise, buy the shirt. And, like, I think there might be a sale on right now. If not, go subscribe to our Instagram page. Either way, thank you so much for listening to another episode by us. I have been Michael Petro.
Doug Darling.
Mark Cowell.
And we're gone. Say bye. Watch all the movies, everybody. Bye.
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 Ladies.
And just like that, ladies and gentlemen, another Real Debaters production is in the can. Thank you so much for listening. If this is your first, second, third, fifth, 20th time, thank you so much. But thank you to the first timers, the ones here who pressed play for the first time and took a gamble on us. If you like what you heard today, the easiest thing to support the show is just to subscribe. Hit the like button, the follow button, whatever's in your podcast player. Make it so that we're always there every Wednesday for you, okay? That would be huge. If you want to stay in touch with us, if you want to follow us, there's a couple ways to do that. We're on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook. We're slowly migrating to YouTube by putting all of the things we've ever put on video onto that site. There's some surprises coming this year that happened a while ago, but I felt needed to be shared. Because they're part of the Debaterverse. So the YouTube page is coming. But if you want to follow us, it's at Real Debaters Pod on Twitter and Instagram. It's the Real Debaters Podcast on TikTok. All of the links, all of the one-click-away things are in the show notes that you've just listened to. So if you want to follow us there, that would be great, too. Because then you get to stay in the know of all the things that we do and what we're going to try to do this year and what we've done in the past, so on and so forth. Yeah, so that's how you stay in touch with us. If you want to contact us, it's thereeldebaters@gmail.com. All the spelling for all these things is R-E-E-L to keep with the title of the show. So you can send an email to us there, request an episode, want to call out one of us for being a goofball. There's places to do that as well, too. Like the Real Debaters website, you can email us, or you can go straight to the website, rate us on Podchaser, thereeldebaters.ca. And if you really, really liked what you heard and you want to support the show in some fashion that requires you spending money, well, we got a couple ways for you to do that as well, too. You can buy our merch at the Prop Shop. It's a store through Threadless, and it's online, and you can order stuff. We've got tons of stuff. We've got our Mass Debater wear there. It's our signature, original, and only line. It's our logo on everything. So you can support us that way. Go to the merch tab in the show notes. Or if you just got a buck and you're like, hey, I want to give you a buck and donate it to your cause, there is a tab in the show notes as well, too, that says donate to the Debaterverse, I think. And if you click on that, it takes you to our donation page where you can donate like $1, $3, and $5. And you'll get something for your $1, $3, or $5. Any more than that's just ludicrous. Luda. So, yeah, that's just kind of what I wanted to tell you, that what I said at the end of the show. This is what you should listen to, because this is all about who we are. And now that we've gotten to where we are, we want to interact with you guys more. So these are the ways to do so. This is the way to stay in touch with us. Thank you to everybody again who's listened to the show. Again, you pressed play. You took a chance. That's cool. So, without further ado, this is where I said I would talk more, so it's eggs on your face. No, I got nothing else for you. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week, and watch all them fucking movies. Bye-bye.